Matthew chapter 28, and in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1043, and we'll read responsively the first six verses of the 28th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 6, please, and let's stand for the reading of God's Word. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And let's pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word, this which tells us of thy death and burial and resurrection. Help us today as we give thought to this portion of Scripture and attune our minds and hearts to the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Could I plead with you to listen very, very carefully this morning? This is the only Easter Sunday 1985 we'll ever have. And once a year we come to this time. I'm going to bring a rather unusual message this morning, and you will not get any of it unless you get all of it. So everybody here will get it all or none. And I'm going to ask you to listen very, very carefully as I bring the message I believe God wants brought here this morning. Our Heavenly Father, it must have been a wonderful day for you when your only begotten Son rose from the dead. Thou didst know that soon was his return to the glory land. Thou didst know that soon he would bring the blood of the innocent sacrifice and sprinkle it at your presence. And so Easter Sunday must be a special day for you. It is for us, because all that we have, are, and shall ever have or ever be is built on that empty tomb. That little place there near the garden, I can see it now. May we rejoice this morning in the truth of the resurrected Christ. Quieten us and still us. Amen. I am a first century Christian. I must confess to you that I am a bit perplexed and somewhat confused. I'm standing this morning in the first century near a sepulcher, just over there a bit. Inside that sepulcher is my Savior. I never thought much, I'll be frank with you, of being a Christian until a strange man, once came to our area. They called him John the Baptist. His dress was most peculiar. He was clothed in camel's hair. Just as peculiar as his dress was his diet, for he ate locusts and wild honey. He said some unusual things to us, He said such things as, "There cometh one after me, and I'm not worthy to unloose." He was a strange fellow. I've never seen, are you listening, anybody exactly like him. He spoke of such things as, "He must increase, and I must decrease." He came preaching a message. Just one message is all he preached. Every time I ever heard him, he preached the same one. The title was, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, I'd often heard about the Messiah. You see, I am a New Testament Christian. I'd often heard about the Messiah. I have read the law and the prophets. I have read that of the Savior being the promised seed of the book of Genesis. I have read about the Passover of Exodus that pictured the Messiah. I have heard about the scapegoat of Leviticus and the brazen serpent of Numbers and the lawgiver of Deuteronomy and the Savior of Joshua and the Judge of Judges. I've heard about the kinsman redeemer coming from the book of Ruth. I've heard about the prophet, priest, and king of Samuel, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of Kings, and the great historian of Chronicles. Oh yes, I've heard about the rebuilder of the temple of Ezra, and the rebuilder of the wall around the city of Jerusalem of Nehemiah. Oh yes, I heard all about that. I've often sat in the synagogue and studied the law and the prophets with the rabbi and the others there. It was not unusual for me, but I never thought I'd become a Christian. I've heard about the friend that sticketh closer than a brother of Job, and the song of the ages of the Psalms, and the truth of the Proverbs, and the preacher of Ecclesiastes, and the lover of the Song of Solomon, and the wonderful counselor of Isaiah, the weeping prophet of Jeremiah. I read about the lamentations of Christ in Lamentations and the rebuilder of God's temple in Ezekiel. And I have read about the stone cut out without hands of Daniel and the forgiving spurned lover of Hosea and the one coming in Bethlehem of Judah in the minor prophets. I've heard all about that. I was there the day that John the Baptist came. I can see him now in the camel's hair. I can see him as he's eating locust and wild honey. And I can hear him as he says, "He must increase and I must decrease, and there cometh one after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose." I recall it well. I remember I was there the day he came. The Savior, Jesus. I heard John say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And I saw this strange man of Galilee come to the Jordan River. Never saw anybody like that. Never heard anybody speak like that. Most unusual person, most magnetic person ever saw or heard in my life. I saw him baptized. I saw John take him into the Jordan River. And I saw, as he was baptized, suddenly heaven opened and a dove descended. And I saw a dove as white as snow resting over the baptism place. And I heard a voice. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I never saw anything like that in my life. And I saw him baptized. Something began to burn in my breast. I think now it was conviction. But I began to burn on the inside. And I said, "That man has something no man ever had. That's not just a man. That's the Messiah. That's the one spoken of in the Old Testament. That's the Lamb offered by the priest.
That's the one who was the scapegoat of the Old Testament. That's the bullock and the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace. That's all of it. That's Him.
And I trusted Him and I knelt and trusted Him as my Savior. I too was baptized in the Jordan River. Oh, I was never in the inner circle. I wasn't one of the 12. I never got very close to Him, and truth is, I never even shook His hand. And I never had Him talk to me personally. Well, I heard His voice. Never man spake like He spake. He spake as one who had authority, but I never heard His voice. But I was one of the 5,000 people or so who followed Him. I saw Him one time. You won't believe this. But I saw Him one time get off the shore and actually walk across the water. I saw that.
One time I saw Him. Oh, I wasn't very close, but I saw Him. I saw Him take some mud and with that mud make an eye and put it on a man where a man's blinded eye had been. And He made an eye and put a new eye in the socket. I saw that.
I saw Him one time replace an ear.
You see, one of His apostles, the main one, Peter, took a sword and whacked at a fella and tried to cut his head off. And the fella dodged like that and he got his ear. And
I saw Jesus reach down and pick that ear up and put it back. And every part was put right back in place. And the blood began to flow immediately. I saw that. I saw Him, He who was so busy. I saw Him pick up little children, and I saw Him bless them. He had time for everybody.
I remember one time He was so busy, and the busy day was pressing upon Him, and little children came, just little ragamuffin kids came, little bus kids, if you please, and they came, and they tried to see Him, and the disciples said, "Now, don't bother Him, He's busy."
I remember that voice said, "Suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto Me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." I saw that. I remember at a wedding one time, you won't believe this, we had a wedding and ran out of refreshments. And his mother called him in, and Jesus got some water and put it in some pots and filled the pots up with water and just turned that water into wine, and we had refreshments for the wedding. I saw Him at a pool of Siloam one time. Heal somebody.
I saw Him at Bethesda's pool. Heal a man that had been crippled for 38 long years. I saw that myself. I saw Him as He raised the dead. Thrice I saw Him raise the dead.
I remember one time he was talking to a little girl. He said, "Rise, little darling," and Jairus' daughter came forth from the grave.
Then that was the time when there's one fellow been dead for 4 days. His body was already stinking. And I was there. I saw it. He had been dead 4 days. And Jesus came in and said, "Roll away the stone." And He shouted, "Lazarus, come forth."
I saw it. Lazarus came forth, and he who was dead was alive. I saw that. I saw Him as He stopped the funeral procession one time, canceled the funeral service. I saw that. Listen to me. For 3 years, I watched Him. Now, I'll be honest with you. I sought for a fault in Him. I tried to find one time when He slipped up.
I tried to find one time when His mouth said that which it should not have said, or His feet walked a path they should not have walked, or His mind seemed to think something was wrong to think, or His hands took something they should not have taken, or touched something they should not have touched. I watched Him. I watched Him carefully. I scrutinized Him. With the fine tooth comb, I did, to try to find something wrong with Him.
I couldn't. I found no fault in this man. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a problem. And this is my problem. He's in that grave over there. All my hopes lie in His promise to come out.
Now, I think He's going to come out. But He's got to come out.
And I'm worried.
I'm human, you know. I trusted Him, and I'm human.
But I'm worried.
Oh, yes, I saw Him raise the little girl, and I saw Him raise Lazarus, and I saw Him raise the man on the way to the cemetery. I saw all that.
said he would rise. And, sir, that's my hope. If he doesn't come out of that sepulcher, I'm gone. I've trusted everything in the fact that he's going to come out. He said he would. He often spoke of his resurrection. I heard him once say, destroy this temple concerning his body, and he'd raise it again after 3 days. I heard him say that.
One time he's teaching us the book of Jonah, and he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And he told us that he would die, and he would be in the grave, and that after 3 days and three nights, he would come forth, and but he's there.
And I'm worried. All my hopes are over there. You see, I left everything.
I left mother, father, friends, and past. My rabbi pronounced me dead when I trusted Jesus. My synagogue won't even let me come back in anymore. And there he is. He's dead. His body's been over there quite a while. He's dead. He's got to rise. It's the only hope I have.
He spoke one time. He said, I lay down my life that I may take it again. In fact, he never spoke of his death without speaking of his resurrection.
I heard him many times talk about his coming death, but he never left himself in the grave. He never ended, not one sermon I ever heard him preach did he ever end with the cross. He always went beyond the cross and said he'd rise again.
He said one time, I must go to Jerusalem, suffer, and be killed, and the third day be raised. If he doesn't come forth from that tomb, there's no hope for me.
No pardon for my soul. No life for paralyzed humanity. My faith is in vain. And he's another Buddha. A Confucius. And just another good teacher. And every hope I have is built on that grave being empty.
But I'm worried. I'm human. And I just wonder if for sure. I saw him die. I saw them strip him to the waist and take the cat of nine tails and flag it across his back 39 times. And I'll be honest with you, I could hardly take it as I saw him. He never hurt anybody. He never did anything wrong. He was as innocent as a little boy, first newborn babe. He never deserved it. But I saw him take the big old whip and lash it across his back. And I saw him, who was the altogether lovely one,
become the altogether mangled one.
I saw him die. I saw them when they cut down a tree. I saw them nail his body to that tree.
I saw them lay that tree in a cross form and laid him down on that cross and got up over him and put a nail there. And I saw them.
But you know what? Strangest thing. I've seen a lot of folks crucified. But everybody I've ever seen crucified before tried to hold his hands up. We had to get his hand and pry it. But not so with Jesus. He just laid his hand there. You'd have thought he was doing it on purpose. You'd have thought that they weren't crucifying him, but he was laying down his life. And I saw them. I saw them strip him of his clothing. I saw him naked. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you believe the pictures you see of a hippie on a cross with just a couple of little wounds and a few drops of blood. That's not the way he looked.
You couldn't even tell he was human. Those hands that had taken the little children pierced by nails. Those feet that had walked the shores of Galilee for others and walked on the water to give comfort and strength to the disciples were nailed to the cross. That body that slept on the Mount of Olives while birds had nests and foxes had holes and people had their beds and homes. I saw that body pierced and beaten. I saw him die.
I heard him say the most amazing thing you ever heard in your life. Folks, they were killing him. You know what he said? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
You know what he said? He said, John, take care of Mama. Mama, take care of John. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. my God, why hast thou, I heard this, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. Thy hands I commend my spirit. I heard his voice on the cross.
We were together often. Oh, I never talked to him personally. He wouldn't, I mean, except if he's God, he knows me. But if that's not God over there, he wouldn't know me from Adam. But I often heard him speak of heaven. He said, I wasn't in the room, but I was listening on the outside. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye be also. And he often talked about heaven. He talked about going back to the Father. I heard him pray one time. He wanted to go back to the Father and have the fellowship restored. And then he prayed for all of his people to go back to heaven, or go to heaven also. And he talked about it.
And I'll be quite honest with you, I've been sort of looking forward to it. But listen, neighbors, if he stays inside that tomb over there, there won't be any heaven. My mama's gone. My only hope to see her is if he rises.
He spoke of coming again. I didn't understand it first. It seemed like sort of a strange thing. But he spoke of coming back to the earth again.
He spoke of a trumpet and a shout and the voice of the archangel. And he spoke about...
you won't believe this. But he spoke about all the graves opening someday.
And all of his people rising from the dead. He's...
But now, you got to understand this. I'm worried. Because he's in that grave now. He's behind that door, that sepulcher.
Now, there he is. If he doesn't rise, I never can rise. And my mama never can rise either.
I guess I ought not to doubt like I am, but I am. I guess I ought not to fret like I'm fretting, but I do.
And I guess I ought not to feel like I feel, but I can't help it. I'm human and flesh. I can't help it.
He spoke of a kingdom. He spoke of a time when he would be the king of all the world.
He spoke of a time when he would be in Jerusalem as the king of the earth, and for 1,000 years, Christians would run the show.
He spoke about that time. And I'll be honest with you, I've looked forward to it. You see, we're sort of the scum of the earth here in Jerusalem. We've never been very popular.
They nailed our captain to the cross. If they'd get by with it, they'd put all of us on a cross too. And I sort of look forward to, you know, folks, it's just around that corner up there. See that hill up there? It's called Zion. You can see it from here at Calvary. It's called Zion. Right there on that hill, he said someday he would ascend the stairwell of royalty and become King of Kings and Lord of Lords and rule for 1,000 years this old earth.
We've been looking forward to it, but only hope he got if he comes out. He told of a place he called the New Jerusalem. He said that we're going to live forever in a place that had streets of gold,
gates of pearl, foundations of all kinds of precious stone. He told about a place that was 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles high, called the New Jerusalem. He said someday it's going to come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband, and we shall live forever in that city where no crape shall ever darken the doorknob, and no brow shall ever furrow, and no shoulder shall ever wrinkle, and no hand shall ever tremble, and no feet shall ever walk an unsure step, and no back shall ever hurt, no child shall have leukemia, no old person shall die with Alzheimer's disease, nobody will have cancer, no heart attacks, no strokes, no disease, no sin. He talked about that city, but we will never get to that city unless he gets out of that grave.
I'll be honest, I don't want to doubt, but I do. I've trusted him. I'm going under. If he goes under, I'm going under. I've trusted him. It's all settled. It's done. Great transaction's done. I'm my Lord's, and he's mine. And he's my Lord. Come out or not, he's my Lord. But if he doesn't come out, I can't come out.
If he doesn't come out, my faith is in vain. If he doesn't come out, my blessed hope is a dreary hope. If he doesn't come out, my mama has no hope for heaven, and there is no heaven. You see, folks, I've just sort of laid aside everything and followed him.
Well, the truth of the matter is, I've been following him now 3 years. That's all I've done. picked up a few odd jobs here and there. Wherever he was, I picked up an odd job here and an odd job there just to make ends meet. Because I knew he was going to leave and I wanted to hear everything he said. His death in the light of his resurrection is where I put my trust. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I was healed. And yet, folks, I'm worried. I wish I didn't feel this way. I'm just worried. All is in vain unless he comes out of that grave. He what? He what? It's what? He did what? You saw what? An angel came and rolled the stone away, and the grave is empty. And he did rise, and I will go to heaven, and I will be raised, and I will see Mama again, and I will see John Rice again, and I will see Rester Roloff again, and I will see my two sisters I've never seen. He did. It is. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He's living, no matter what men say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walked with me. He talked with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Up from the grave He arose, the mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor, the dark domain. He lives forever with His saints to reign. I'll be quite frank with you. Now that I hear this, I'm so glad I trusted Him. And I wish you would too. He changed my life. You say, what did you do to get your life changed? I didn't do anything. I just one day trusted Him. Yeah. By the way, that's all you have to do. You can go to any church you want to someday, maybe on Easter Sunday morning. And you can say, I'm tired of doubt. I'm tired of wondering where I would go if I died. I'm tired of going to bed at night and wondering what would happen to my poor soul if I died. You could walk in the house on Easter Sunday morning. And you could just tell the fellow at the altar that you want to trust Him too. And I'll guarantee you, He'll write your name in heaven, make you His child, and take you to heaven when you die. He lives. He lives. I'm sorry I doubted, but I think you understand. I didn't mean to doubt, but I couldn't help it. Somehow I knew He would rise, but I was afraid He wouldn't. But I trusted Him, and I'm glad I did. And if you will trust Him, you will always be glad. You did. Our Heavenly Father, sanctify the simple message this morning. As old as eternity, and as new as tomorrow morning's paper, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed.